keep it locked on Middays with Marcus Maben on 93.9 The Ville.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Midday with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station.
Can we look? It is National Signing Day, and look, we got an interview we're gonna play later. Drew Deaner, Bobby Petrino, the stuff you need to hear. But can we give a shout out, man? Look, Louisville football Twitter just tweeted out they landed a school best 10 4-star recruits on pace to have the highest rated class in history.
Repeat that again. Repeat that, Steve, please.
10 4-star recruits, a school best on pace to record the highest rated class in school history. And I love what they're doing, man. They're trying to finish up. I know the Brent's kid here at Wagner, that's something to keep an eye on. They're still finishing up and they're not done yet, but man, kudos. My guy Pete, man, get him, Coach Nocta, over there doing your thing, man. I know how it is.
It's very, very important to love your loved ones. Yeah. I love my football team, right?
I do.
And my football team is my rock. My football team is my anchor. I know. My football team reminds me every morning that I'm still the University of Louisville.
Yeah.
I get to wake up. I get to go to gocards.com, yeah, right? Yeah. And then I get to type in football coach.
Hey.
Bobby Petrino.
Come on.
Right? I still know my roster.
Yeah.
And I know nobody's transferring and I don't have to talk about anything. All I can talk about is love.
Yeah. And I'm still good. And eventually my ankle's going to heal up. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I'm still good. Like, I'm good.
And it's one of those situations like, y'all do know when this ankle heals, I'm coming for you, right?
But sometimes when your ankle don't heal and you're just like, man, this is what I am. If you listen off in the distance.
Yeah. Like, in the mountains.
In the mountains.
Wish that I was on a rocky top down in the Tennessee hills. Ain't no smoky smoke on rocket. Ain't no telephone bills. Once I had a girl on rocky top. Half bird, the other half cat. Wild as a mink, but sweet as soda pop. I still dream about that rocky top.
Woo! Come on, Rocky Top.
Good old Rocky Top.
Woo!
Rocky Top, Tennessee.
Channel my inner Ric Flair. Top,
man. Tennessee.
Appreciate that, Brian.
My man at the top of the key just looked him up and down.
Ooh.
And went, well, we're down two?
Ooh.
You just going to sit there and stare at me?
That was so disrespectful.
Yeah. Let me pull us three in your eye.
Rocky Top.
Homeboy.
You'll always be home sweet home to me.
No.
You know, I had to send Jalen a little text message.
Yeah.
Good job, young fella.
You hit that chat, you wait to my bodyguard. Here's about this.
Are we going to talk about that, Steve? Or are we just going
to... It should be talked about.
Not by us.
No. No, we shouldn't have to have talk about it. No, it should be something.
Are you going to explain to people what you read?
I mean...
Or just the general synopsis?
The general of it is UK forward Ty Winyard, who's, I guess, been suspended from the team, or is off the, I assume, won't play again.
Let's just say allegedly, just to keep our nose clean.
Yeah, allegedly. I mean, was at a frat party, and had a guy with him, kind of there to protect him with a gun.
People. The University of Kentucky, a player has a armed, quote unquote, armed bodyguard, allegedly. Allegedly. Assigned or there to protect the player. If I don't see that on the bottom line, you talk about... Listen, what's the TV show that had the NFL players, and it was just like a big dramatic TV show about how real it is, you know, in the day-to-day life?
With college?
Like Ballers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Ballers,
like... With The Rock?
Yeah, with The Rock, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know how they showed so much of the dirty details, the salacious things that go on? If that salaciousness of having an armed bodyguard as a college player is not newsworthy, I don't know what is, Steve. It's not conversation worthy. I mean, what did you know?
You imagine it should be at least there. In all seriousness, I mean, I jump on it more because it's Kentucky, but I mean, in all seriousness, you would think there is something should be looked into there. Like, we just need to make sure this isn't like protocol or anything, is it? And not saying there's nothing that says that it is. But, I mean, I think that that's something worthy
to be. Is there even going to be a statement? Is there going to be anything said about
it? And I'm going to say something that's very politically incorrect. I'm not even saying I don't get it. Oh, okay.
That's not politically incorrect.
I know, why? But
because I said it this offseason.
Yeah.
What situation did I allude to in the offseason? I said when the 3-on-3 during the summer went to Lexington – Brian Bowen had just came here, and I said, Brian Bowen should not be in Lexington without some kind of
somebody there with
him. Watching him in a professional status. I said this in the summer.
But that doesn't make it legal. That doesn't make it okay. I know I sound like such a hypocrite there, but I mean,
that's a comfortable conversation.
Yeah.
Again. Make your joke about the numbers, but these are still investments. These are major program investments. If that's what you need to go out to, what kind of frets y'all got?
Yeah,
my dude got to come strapped.
I know, Lexington,
AKs, and
they'd like you.
Supposedly,
you know, it's
they're
like,
supposed to.
Yeah, like what in the world, man? Like what happened? Because that's the other question.
And what happened to the days of us all going to this frat party together? I'm not going without four of my teammates.
Yeah.
If anything, not because I'm scared, because I like my teammates.
Yeah.
I don't. You know how mad Reese and Ellis and Muhammad would have been if they heard that I was at this frat party and there was all the honeys there and we doing our thing and they. Maybe you went to that frat party?
Yeah.
That teak frat party?
Yeah.
I ain't tell y'all.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was fun.
Marcus, you went to that toga party?
Yeah. You've been to a toga party.
So
you wouldn't have just said that.
Would you imagine Reese, Ellis, Muhammad finding out that I was at the most lit party on campus? You know what I'm saying? Just doing my thing, and I didn't go get them on the way.
Would you like Julius Caesar? Did you go in character? Did you role play?
After the party. Oh, wait. Welcome back to Midday with Marcus Maven. 8150, 93.9. Okay, so back home, Steve.
Okay.
I put the entire fan base in a panic because I spoke the truth. I spoke. It's the heart-to-heart time.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. From the coach's point of view, is that something they can do? Is it too late to make that dramatic of a change?
Oh, not at all.
To go with a freshman lineup, basically? A freshman, you know, heavy lineup?
No.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Who deserves most to be replaced out of Dang Adele, VJ, and Quinn?
VJ. Yeah, I think VJ, because at the end of the day, now I know Quentin.
He's the youngest.
I know. But you still are trying to win. And here's the thing. I know Quentin in the last game had a rough game. But the thing that Quentin and Dang Adele do, and I'm not putting Quentin in the Dang Adele category because Quentin plays well, okay? Quentin does his thing. But Dang Adele, for instance, the stat line, I know it ain't all about stats, but he does still fill up the stat line. So that means you are still making plays.
Oh, yeah, almost like Dang Adele is trying. He's just bad at things.
Yeah. I think his, I mean, he's got a local radio host that has drawn every eye in America to him, named Marcus Maven. But
have I been unfair to Dang Adele, people?
I'm not saying he was unfair.
38, 31, 90.
I think people are watching him a little more.
I feel bad about it.
Yes, you should.
Why would you say that then? You said I'm not being unfair, but I should feel bad.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just because I'm the one that pointed out.
Yeah, it's on you. And so...
Sorry, Dang.
But in all seriousness, though, VJ has too many games where that's just nothing. Got called in a minute ago, said he took like one shot. Why are you on the floor If you're not doing anything, I can't have you on the floor.
But I was saying that kind of with Quentin. You know, two shots. You get 1-3.
Well, that was 30 minutes. No, and that was bad. And that Syracuse game may have been one of the worst games of his career. I'll say that. But that was one game. Quentin still, at down the stretch, made the right play. And I love Ray Spalding. But Ray Spalding drops a pass. Would have put him down too. Quentin still in that crunch time made the exact right play that needed to be made. Yeah. Hit Ray Spalding in the hands.
And again, I've seen Quentin go to work, so yeah, it's hard.
Yeah,
it's
I don't think you're setting Quentin, man. I just don't. But definitely
tighter hook.
Yeah, which I think he's kind of had. There's been moments lately. Now it's kind of been for Ryan, which has been
and the guys who come in make a mistake quick enough to get him back in.
Yeah. And the point guard's one spot where you can't. And that's one thing Quentin don't do. Okay, even if the stat line wasn't there, he's not making a lot of mistakes. So, but see, like I'm
losing my patience with you. I don't make a lot of mistakes. Because it's like, you know, Dwayne Sutton doesn't make. You know, if you told Dwayne Sutton just don't shoot the ball, you know what I'm saying?
He's Quentin.
But he's Quentin. right. Man, I mean, that's exactly what Tim's.
He's doing his thing. All right. I just don't think you're pulling Quentin right now. I don't think he's did anything to be pulled. I think VJ's one that you could set. And if you want to put Darius in there, if you want to put War in there, and whoever it is, Darius or War, I think they're the next man up.
But the point is, they have to. There has to be open substitution to. And you know, we say this, people, and everybody agrees at the end of the day, keeping focused for an extended period of time is a problem. You keep kids focused minute to minute by having them know that once you lose focus, you're coming out the game.
Yeah.
That goes back to your original point of Coach Pitino hovering over each player individually. But I will say this, because you point that out in particular.
Yeah.
What do you think Pat Paulus is over there doing? You see him? He's a madman.
Yeah, he is.
And it doesn't take Padgett to be the madman for the point to get noticed.
Yeah.
Again, Paulus is still in a position where I'm not going to try to overshadow, you know, what's going on or circumvent authority, but he's over there locking them in possession by possession. Yeah. Sean, thanks for joining us on the Ed Scoring Hotline, my man. What's on your mind?
Well, I got something to say real quick, but I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. Before I make my point, I just want to say that I do think Padge has done a great job up till now, with the exception of giving the guys a free pass after the Virginia loss. I feel like when he told the guys, you know, that, you know, pretty much that they could play with anybody and kind of giving them a free pass on the loss, I don't think that's anything Rick Pitino would have ever done. And it's not fair to compare the two, and I think he's done a great job. But I was also calling in because I heard a couple callers ago talk about, well, Q is Q. And you know, no, that's not right. No, he's got to be held accountable the same as everybody else on this team. This team lacks defensive, you know, intensity at times for a long time, and everybody's just driving past us at will. And McMahon's a liability. And every time he's on the floor now, it's either he's turning the ball over or he's 3 or 4 fouls. And it's, you know, he's a liability. You know, and the only thing he's doing for us, really, and I was his biggest fan, you know, until he started becoming a liability for the team. But, you know, I believe, you know, if Wara or Perry or somebody like that could show a little bit more. Well, Perry shows a lot of intensity, but I don't even know he's the answer. And I've been listening and I just don't know, you know, where this team is going, but it's been a long time since I've been sitting here at the middle of February, beginning of February, wondering if Louisville's going to be in the tournament, you know, because of just effort. And it just feels like to me that they don't give a lot of effort.
Listen, I appreciate the call. Here's the thing. I don't think for one second that I don't think he's McMahon's a liability until he turns over the basketball, right?
Yeah.
Turning over the basketball and giving up and ones. Think about this. If Ryan McMahon draws 2 charges a game, right, goes 2 for 4.
Right.
Drawing 2 charges, that's a turnover.
Yeah.
Ryan McMahon, he's pretty good in open court at coming up with steals. You know what I'm saying? Like, he gets extra possessions, right? Right. Stretches the defense. But here's the thing. The turnover and the and one from Ryan looks worse than anybody's, right?
Yeah.
If Honest Mahmood averages 3 blocks a game, right? How many and ones does he give up? How many easy take it to the basket swats does he miss because he wants to time somebody and catch him at the basket?
And how many of those blocks do they still score on?
Right.
Because that's also a thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So mathematically, Honest Mahmood gives up, and he misses buckets, right?
Yeah.
He turns the ball over when he tries to dribble, right? He's about 50-50 with his passes, right? Between a great pass and a turnover. So technically, Ryan McMahon has better numbers than Honest when he's in the game. As far as defensive possessions gain, I will give Honest the credit. He is what he used to be, more of a shot botherer. But now it seems like he's just decided to hang his hat on, you know, on blocks.
Yeah.
And you're hurting because of it. So again, I'm not putting Ryan McMahon in the liability category, you know what I'm saying? But I'm definitely putting him in the your mistakes are magnified because the intensity of the opposing guards ratchets up.
Yeah.
And if you can't have that, if you can't foul them out on the floor, you know what I'm saying, or make them work harder to get around you and get to the basket, then you're full liability.
Well, this is going to be the first time, I think, the caller mentioned David Padgett. This is going to be the first time where
his back's against the wall.
Yeah, and Coach Padgett has a chance here to make a move. To make a move to say, to kind of get everybody on board with, okay, maybe you got a shot to take us to a Final Four, to an Elite Eight, to a Sweet 16, to whatever your, to the tournament, right. You know, wherever your bar is set. I think Thursday's that. If they come out with the same lineup and they play lethargically again,
so you,
that's a wrap.
You agree with what I'm saying? If this
win
is
or
not,
lose, yeah, it's a wrap.
See, and yeah, okay. So you agree with what I was saying yesterday? The idea that a close game is a loss
if it's played bad. I mean, if there's a different energy to the team and you're playing. No, I mean, like if he made a switch.
I mean, you might be right, but I'm shaking my head.
If he made a lineup switch, like we were saying, with Perry, with Wara, with those guys, and there was an intensity and they want, then you almost reset them.
Let me ask you this. Are you worried about the false bravado? You change that lineup, you end up working Georgia Tech. Mm-hmm. Instead of just saying Georgia Tech sucks, you might say this new lineup is where it's at.
That's exactly what I'm going to say. And then you go get Pitt. And then you got a week for Carolina.
And then you go back to your VJ and dig it.
then you change it all back.
Then you say, hey y'all, I was just, and you know this.
They learned their lesson this week. And get them back in the game.
Coach Crum was the, listen people, Coach Crum, shame on you. He had no shame about when East Missouri State Community College was coming to town.
Yeah.
Right? And I wasn't at the top of my suicide game in practice. Marcus, those lazy habits, all of a sudden, the starting lineup against East Tennessee State Community College. You got Jerry Johnson starting over me or something.
Yeah.
Coach.
Like, wow. How about that?
Hey. Can you imagine, Steve?
Two plays in. Marcus, get Jerry.
Yeah, right. Right. Or, no, it's even worse, though, when you don't get that quick call.
Yeah.
You know, this East Tennessee State, every time Jerry Johnson is just hitting all these buckets against the squad, and coach is looking down the bench at me like, You do know we'll bench you. This will be permanent, Marcus.
Yep. And then if you'd got up and walked off the bench
and just checked myself in?
No, left. Now, Marcus, let's calm down.
Hey, let's talk about this.
I'm kidding. He would have kicked you straight off the team. I know better than that. But get out of here, man. Go to UCLA.
Maybe.
I don't know.
You never know these kind of things, Steve, because you wouldn't dare try them.
I know. No, absolutely not, unless you're at Kentucky. I mean, I've seen people walk off the bench there, but When Daniel Orton one time, and he just get up like, man, forget you, and walk to the back. Like,
I'm too old for this.
That's the SEC tournament. Really? That dude just walked in to just sleep. Hey, just come back and sit down and go first round.
Texter writes, VJ needs to have a baby.
Oh, God. Nobody needs to have a child.
I know, to get artificial intensity. But no, yeah, this is the game to do it. This is the game for Dang Adele and VJ to spend 10 minutes on the bench.
It is.
And I mean, I'm telling you, they'll die on the inside. But I would, before I actually made the substitution, I would put together the highlight package and say, listen, look at how weak you making us look. But this is where you need Scooter McRae on the side.
Oh,
or you
yeah.
need Trent Johnson. You just need OG Harsh. Like, dude, you really kind of suck.
Yeah.
Like, I'm kind of like disappointed that you turned out to be, you know, what you are this year.
Yeah.
And it comes, you know, from the OOG, it just sounds different. You know what I'm saying? Because you know they don't care about your feelings.
Yeah.
Old people do not care about your feelings ever.
No, they
don't have time.
Yeah, that's the thing. They don't. My mom says that a lot. She's like, I've just reached the age where I just don't have time to care. I've got it. I'm like, okay, you don't know. Like, I mean, you just kind of get to the point where it's like, yeah, I just don't care. So
they don't care.
No, I know.
So imagine I don't care. Trent Johnson say, yeah, you'll probably get invited to the combine. They'll cut you, and you'll go to Australia.
Yeah,
and you'll probably go to a Division II team in Australia because you're not anywhere near as good as you think you are. As a matter of fact, that kid that we played against, he ate your lunch. He'll probably take your spot in the league probably next week.
Yeah, I coached the Lopez twins, and they were mediocre, but they worked twice as hard as you did, and they made it.
Like, if you had played around the Lopez twins, like, you'd never, ever see the floor.
Yeah.
Like, listen, if I was the coach, I'd probably cut you already.
Said, hey, I got two guys already.
Yeah, no, listen, like, think about it. Listen, I'd take Lance's energy over your lackadaisical look on your face any day. You better be the guy. I'm not the head coach.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you better pray. You know, like, you talk to them kids like that. BJ, you better pray. You if you're going to transfer, you better go to Middle Tennessee State or something.
Yeah.
Because anywhere, Division I, top dog, until you get your act together, you're gonna suck.
That's true.
That's what the coach that didn't care was. I don't think that really is true, Steve.
Oh yeah, that's both.
No, that's not true. Quick commercial break. 8150 939 is the number on 939 DeVille.
Keep it locked on Middays with Marcus Maben on 93.9 The Ville.
Welcome back into 93.9 The Ville. I am your producer, Brian Hull, and Marcus Maben and Steve Rummage have stepped out of the building, but that is because we are going to replay an interview from Drew Diener's show earlier today where Bobby Petrino met with Drew and talked a little bit about the signing class that is coming in, as well as Lamar Jackson and what he sees for next year's team. So with that, I will send it off to Drew Diener and Bobby Petrino.
You know, pretty well assembled anyway, but hope you hit some home runs today.
Thanks.
Bobby Petrino, who's on the line with us. It's signing day. Does it feel like signing day, Coach, since you signed so many already?
No, it doesn't. It's a different feeling, that's for sure. But I'm happy that on December 20th we were able to get the majority of everything done. And I like the class. I think it's a great class for us. We got 8 guys already on campus, and we're really excited about it.
Yeah, so what is today? You've just got, what, 3 signees to worry about, or 3, you know, letters to worry about?
We have 3 slots left. Whether we sign 3 guys today, I'm not sure. You know, we're still working on it a little bit, but it's not so bad to have one in your pocket and you know, take some time. A year ago, we actually had 3 three that we kept and ended up having three guys come in as transfers, Rajay Burns, P.J. Mabanasor, and Boosie Whitlow, and all three of them are going to do a great job for us. So I'm not afraid to have one or two left over.
Yeah, you're right. You never know what you can – it's nice to have that sort of, I guess, leeway or insurance. So do you go into today with, like, contingency plans? We want this guy, and this guy, and if this guy goes another direction, then we do this. I mean, how do you operate today?
Yeah, pretty much like that. You know, I think we have two of them that are set, and we're just kind of waiting for the papers, and then, you know, trying to hit a home run on the last one and see where we're at.
Do you, I mean, with now that you've gone through 1 year of this, what do you think of having the early signing period? Is your opinion of it any different now than it was prior to going through it?
Yeah, I think I like it. You know, I think it's one of those deals where you've had guys on campus and they're committed to you, and now you're able to sign them instead of just waiting to see if you can keep the commitment and get all the way to February. And we haven't, you know, no one can come in and steal them from you or attempt to steal them from you. I think it'll really help us down the road, because the last couple of weeks out in recruiting, we were mainly out there looking at sophomores and juniors and getting everything set for the 2019 and 2020 classes.
Do you think a lot, I mean, in terms of this class, the guys will, are there a lot of them, a few of them that will come in and play right away? I mean, how do you view this class in terms of their impact next year?
Yeah, I think we're definitely going to need defensive players to come in and play right away. We just had a huge senior class on defense, and you know, guys have graduated. So certainly we're going to need those defensive linemen to come in and play right away. We recruited a junior college linebacker that we expect to help us. We had a great corner that I think is talented and going to, you know, he's already on campus, Chandler Jones, and doing an unbelievable job with his quickness, speed, change of direction. You know, Robert Hicks, another freshman linebacker who's already on campus. So the guys that are on campus and here and working, certainly we're going to expect to play for us next year.
I am someone, I want to talk a little bit about Lamar Jackson as well. I mean, as he gets ready for the NFL draft, I think he's one of the more intriguing guys to watch, to see how he is viewed. What is he, is he doing right now to get ready for the draft? Is he doing stuff at the facility? Is he already somewhere else? How's he getting ready for this?
Yeah, he's been down in South Florida, and I think he's been training and working down there. And, you know, obviously he'll be at the combine here in a little bit, and then he'll be here for a senior day. You know, but it's up to him now to sell himself. He's going to go through drills and throwing drills and interviews and, you know, chalk talks. And he's got to go in and show that he can throw the ball the way they want him to throw the ball. And he's able to understand, you know, offensive schemes and defenses. And, you know, it's the thing you never know about the NFL is who really has a true interest in him, who's trying to, you know, show that they do, but really looking for somebody else, you know. Mm-hmm. So you never know. I never know when anyone's going to get drafted.
What with him, what do you think will surprise them, the NFL scouts, about him when they either analyze him, talk to him? What do you think the thing that will surprise them?
Yeah, I think that the quickness of his release and the way he can snap his wrist and the way the ball comes out, you know, I really believe he can make all the different throws that you need to make. And he has a really quick release, and certainly you're going to need that, you know, to be able to play at that level.
Do you think he ends up being a first-round pick?
Like I said, I have no idea. You know,
yeah.
I have no idea. There's people that have told me that he is, and there's people that say, no, he's not. And, you know, I think sometimes, like I said, sometimes they're trying to bluff, and sometimes they legitimately have interest. You know, you need to find one program or one squad that really is interested in you, that believes in you and you know, believes that you can be the franchise quarterback that they're looking for. I think, you know, that's what first round draft pick quarterbacks are guys that you're looking to be the franchise quarterbacks. And, you know, sometimes that's not a great deal either, because sometimes, you know, those early picks, they have issues with their offensive line and you get hit a lot and your career gets shortened. So sometimes it's better to be, you know, Tom Brady, where you come in late with a great offensive line and show everybody.
Do you think a formula for him would be better to sit and watch for a year, or just going to be thrown into the fire right away?
Yeah, well, I've always believed that it's such a difference with the speed and the complexity of defenses that if you can sit and watch and observe and learn, it's really beneficial to your health and your longevity in the league. The problem that you have with that is you have owners in the NFL that say, now I'm paying this guy how much money, and he's standing on the sidelines. So there's not a lot of patience. So you have to be, you know, you have to get yourself ready and expect that you're going to be able to come in and play.
You obviously had to utilize his talents this past couple of years because he is the abilities that he has running the football. Will this be, you know, people say, and I'm curious your take on this, well, this will be this year what you want past more of what we call a traditional Bobby Petrino offense. Is that, I don't even know if there is a traditional offense anymore, but yeah. Do you agree? Is that a fair statement to make?
I think it'll be different. You know, it'll be back to some of the things that we've done before, from under the center, and hopefully crank up our play action game. And Juwan's got to do a great job of really understanding fronts and coverages. But Juwan can run. There's no doubt about that. He's not the dynamic cutter and cutback guy. But he is big and he can run. He's fast. And every time he's carried the ball, he's done a good job with it.
What is having that offseason, I mean, when the first game is Alabama, what does that do? I know you've always said you like a big game to start the year, but is it even bigger when you have, you know, the sort of the name brand in college football first on your slate?
It's pretty big.
Yeah.
You know, it's a pretty big game. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, they've got the great tradition and great players. But really, we have nothing to lose. We go in and you know, be real aggressive and have fun calling the game and have fun playing in the game. I think it really motivates us here in the off season and our preparation and getting, you know, our body prepared and our minds prepared for the season. And our guys are excited about it. You know, we got a lot of kids from that area and they either played with guys in high school or were recruited and went on trips with them together. So pretty much the guys know each other.
Bobby Petrino with us here, 93 on the Ville ESPN 6A. The signing party coming up later today down over the Brown and Williamson Club. Obviously, you hired a new defensive coordinator, and I was curious, in Brian Van Gorder, when you talked about the hiring process, you said you sort of waited, you sort of sat back for a couple of days. I wanted you to kind of expand on that. I heard you say that at the introductory press conference. What did you mean there? Did you wait for people to come to you, or how did that work?
Yeah, I mean, I had a list that we always put together, and certainly, you know, guys that I felt like I wanted to get a hold of and contact, but I just kind of wanted to sit back and take a deep breath and you know, see what I really wanted to do and what direction that I wanted to go. You know, I'm a guy right here on staff that certainly I felt was capable of coordinating the defense also, so I just kind of did something I've never done before. Usually I go right now, you know, and go and make the decision and get going. But I just felt like, hey, just take a deep breath, relax, do the work that we got to get done here in the next 3 days and then get on it. So it was hard too. I didn't enjoy it at all. I didn't like, you know, relax at all doing it. I felt like, oh my God, I should be doing something. I should be making phone calls. I should be getting on a plane. It's always easier to get on a plane and go see them and interview them than it is bringing them in.
So what made you do it differently? What was the impetus to that?
I don't know. That's a great question. You know, I'm not really sure. I think maybe because we didn't have the success that I thought we would have last year on defense, I felt I just needed to take a little bit more time.
Can you pinpoint the problems on defense last year? Was there one big thing? Was it a variety of things? What was it?
Yeah, I think it was a variety of things. I think that, you know, James Hearns being hurt early in the year and not having the production rushing the passer, you know, hurt us a little bit. We lost Jair Alexander in the first game of the season. So then you had some, you know, young freshman corners out there that people went after. And we just couldn't put it all together. But I thought when Jair came back and James came back with his health and his speed, and now you had the ability to rush the passer and play tight coverage, you're always going to be a little bit better. And, you know, I think we were a little tentative too early. I think we sat back and, you know, gave the receivers too much room and, you know, weren't aggressive enough going after them. So kind of a combination of everything. When you're not executing and playing the way you should, I think it's all 11 guys and the coaches.
What for next year gives you the most excitement about your offense and about your defense? What gives you the optimism for either side of the ball?
Yeah, I think mostly on about our offense is our offensive front. I think we finally got where we want to be physically, and got some young, really good young players there that have playing experience from last year. We got Lucas McNeil back, who's doing a great job of leading, and he's a real physical, tough guy. So the toughness of our offensive line is where we want it to be. Kamari Avery at tight end and Jordan Davis at tight end are two big physical guys that can run and catch and give you a lot of flexibility on what you can do with them, whether you want to line them up next to the tackle or flex them out or motion them. They're just really good. I'm excited to put that combination and what we want to do with those guys together. And defensively, I think it's the secondary. When we watch them work out and change directions, we got size and speed, kind of what you want. It looks like a completely different secondary than we had in the previous years.
Well, the event is today. I guess the gates it opens to the public at 4:30. What can people expect today when they come down to the party?
Yeah, come on down. We're going to have the coaching staff over there at 4:45, just kind of mingling around and having some fun. And then they'll be able to take a picture if they want with the Heisman Trophy, which we're going to have on display. And then about 5:25, we'll start the program where the coaches will get up and go through the signing class and watch video of them and listen to the coach talk, listen to those verbiage and the words that everybody likes to hear the coaches say.
Exactly. Now, when do you think you'll know about your three slots? When will you have a sense in your mind, will you know early? Is something you're going to be going down to the wire? When do you have a sense of how today has gone? Time-wise.
Yeah, that's one of those things where we don't have them in yet, and that's not what you want. You want them sent over at 7 o'clock, but you always got parents that have to do this and do that, and so hopefully we get it done quickly.
Yeah. All right. Well, Coach, best of luck to you today, and congratulations on a class that's already, pretty well assembled anyway, but hope you hit some home runs today.
Thanks, Drew. I appreciate it.
That was head coach Bobby Petrino with our very own Drew Diener earlier this morning talking about the signing day as well as Lamar Jackson and the pros and the team that we can look at for next season. Van Gorder, the defensive coordinator, and much, much more. You can catch that interview on ESPN Louisville SoundCloud. But that will do it for our show today. Marcus and Steve will be back in studio tomorrow at 10 a.m. But keep it locked here. The Dan Le Batard Show is next on 93.9.